Well, I got a question for you. When was the last time you had a checkup with the doctor? Well, you know, the ruling says that once a year, go to the doctor, make sure everything's okay. That's the way it is in a lot of families, especially those who can afford to go to a doctor. Okay? But I'm not talking about a physical checkup today. I'm talking about something else. When is the last time you had a spiritual checkup? A spiritual checkup. You know, the kind of self-examination that lets you know your heart is right with God. Huh? It's not like when you have your yearly physical, like I said, but it's a whole lot more important. You know, eventually this body is going to end up in the ground anyway. We can only have so many years, and then it starts on the decline. But you know, your soul, that goes on forever and ever, for all eternity. So that makes it a lot more important than the body. The body will go to the grave, but the soul will go someplace else. Now, it's up to you where it's going. How well do you know Jesus Christ? Have you received Him as your Savior? Well, we've got to talk about this. And that's why I'm calling my message today, The Examination. The examination. All right? Now, if your heart, as wicked and deceitful as it is, now don't get alarmed, all our hearts are wicked and deceitful. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. Who can know the heart? Deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? All right? Now, if your heart, as it is placed in the hands of the great physician. Now, I'm not talking about Dr. So-and-so down in the city or over there or back there. I'm talking about the great physician. And the great physician I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. He is our great physician. I mean, He heals the body like you wouldn't believe. He cleanses it from sin like you wouldn't believe. Well, you would believe if you had it done. So, you know, I could have called this Dr. Jesus, but there are quite a few messages out there with that same overtone or title. So I called it The Examination. All right? Not only will it be made righteous, your heart, your soul, and pure, but it will be just like His. Just like His. Your wonderful Redeemer, Savior, Jesus Christ. Ah, bless His holy name. Bless the name of Jesus. All of you only have one breath left in you. May it be blessed, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Now, what's my point here? What's my point, you may ask? Well, simply this. While we're in these bodies, and sickness and trauma are constantly on the attack, you can either pay your money to your local doctor or give both money and soul to your TV faith healer. Benny Hinn, Richard Roberts, oh yeah, they're out there. And do not pass go. Do not pass go at all, but go directly to Jesus. Go to the source. There's no in-betweens for Christ. He is the one. He's the real physician. And He heals for free, according to His perfect will. For free. For free. If what man claims to be God's healing, you should not have to pay money. You see, the greatest healing a man can get is that which heals the soul. Yes, sir, the soul. For if the body is free from ailment and properly toned, what shall it prosper if the soul be blackened with repeated sin? You know, the Bible tells us that a man's body and life is measured at 70 years. But his soul has no end. No end. Your destiny has been left up to you. That's right, to you. You can spend eternity walking on the street of gold and supping with the Lord Jesus, or you can spend eternity cursing the day you were born as you quibble with the rich man amid the battle of relentless flames in hell. And that's a fact. I won't get into all these people now who are disbelieving in hell. Oh, they'll find out soon enough. You know what's funny though? If I may use the term. Many of those who we call brothers and sisters in the Lord, they don't even believe in a literal hell. Or they believe you can lose your salvation and you'll eventually end up there anyway. You know why? Because they put Christ to an open shame and were never saved to begin with. It's time, friends, it's time to apply 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, sir. You haven't done that already, it's time you did. It's the only way to know for sure. It's all part of the examination. It's time for the examination. It's called the examination. And you know, Paul tells us to examine ourselves to see if we really are in the faith. He says, work out your own salvation. Doesn't mean save yourself. It means to check up yourself and find out what where you really stand with God. How do you really know Jesus? Do you really believe? Have you given yourself over to Him? Or are the old things in life still plaguing you? Do you still have those old desires that you want to go out with the boys? Or you want to go watch those types of movies, you know, that are not decent at all to see? Or you want to maybe imbibe a little bit? Or maybe you want to use some colorful language that's not pleasing to God? Do you still have those feelings? Well, if you do, then the Holy Spirit, which dwells within the believer, is not dwelling in you. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit to help you clean up your act. To rid yourself of those things. The smoking and drinking and the cussing and the fighting and all the things that go with it. You know, I'm going to have a little prayer and then I'm going to get on with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You for this opportunity You have given me, Lord, to deliver this message. I pray You will give me the utterance that I need. I pray, Lord, that the listeners will have their ears unstopped and their hearts will be open and receptive to what is said today, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they will understand their need to examine themselves, Lord, to find out if they really are in the faith. I ask now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son. Amen. You know, I preached a lot of messages from the Word of God over the years. And most of them I've kept on CD, given out to some needy soul, or even to fellow Christians. Well, I preached from the church pulpit and then in senior citizen homes. The only feedback I ever got that really stirred my heart, was from a little old lady in a small Baptist church down east. She came right up to my face after I finished with the sermon, and she said six very encouraging words. They were, "Boy, did you miss your calling?" Well, I'll tell you, it just blew me away. And you know, what I'm talking about now is your calling. Because the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? God's not willing that any should perish. All right? Okay. You know, that little old lady, that gave me that wonderful lift after that preaching that sermon. You know, that really inspired me. But, you know, that was a long time ago. An encouraging word is a wonderful helpmate. You know what really breaks my heart, though? It's when you're visiting with your family or friends and the blessed name of our Savior is not prayed over. It's not discussed. It's not even mentioned, in fact. Oh, the hockey and the football stats. Well, they get plenty of attention. Who's the best this or who's the best that? But bring up the name of Jesus? Oh, and everyone loses their tongue. They do. How can that be? If you're among Christians, if you're a Christian among Christians, how can that be? The one who we profess to be, the great and holy Savior of our very souls, our Lord of Lords and King of Kings, how can we pass the night away without giving Him the preeminence? What we need is the examination. That's what we need. Because there's something desperately wrong along the way here. And what's even worse is when your Christian friends all use corrupt versions of the Bible. Then when you bring up a Bible verse to honor and to edify God, your friend or your relative who relies on a different Bible version runs to his computer and quickly Googles what you said, hoping to make you a liar, or worse still, call God a liar. How can it be? I ask you people, what kind of Christianity is this? When families are torn from pillar to post because they don't believe in the same Word of God. My friends, I'm grieved to my soul. My heart trembles with pain. How can this be? You know, in the days of yore when kindly Christian folks gathered at the local church, some had to walk for miles to attend the service, even in the dark. They had so much in common back then. Not only with each other, but with the Lord. One Bible, one God, one Savior, and one way to find them. Oh, how they loved the Lord and shared their prayer, their every thought. They were called Christians back then. And they all worshiped the one God using the one book. When one got saved in them days, it was truly a day of rejoicing. And the house of fellowship was filled with such joy from above. Oh my. In those days, when there was a new convert, it wasn't because they went through today's repeat after me scenario. No, it was a time of deep conviction and the knowledge of what God's Word had to say. Back then it was repent, repent, and believe and be saved. Yes, there were tears, but they were tears of joy. Joy in the Lord. Back then when a soul was converted, everybody knew, and everybody rejoiced. There was no need for doubt. No need. Today, many years later, with the devil walking to and fro upon the earth, passing out over 400 versions of the Bible, the name of the game, folks, is confusion. Confusion, total confusion. But it's not from God. For God's not the author of confusion. No. When you train up a child in the way he should go, the last thing you want is any kind of confusion. Especially about the things of God. And that's where the devil, that old devil, is working overtime. Overtime. You know, there was a day when God's Word was God's Word. And you either believed it or you didn't. More than 2,000 years later, the devil, that old devil and his angels, realizing how difficult it was to confuse people about the Word of God, well, he came up with a new plan. It came under a banner which is very popular today. If you can't beat them, join them. And here's how it came about. Late one night, Satan and his angels of darkness, they had a very special low-level meeting. Having already suffered a great defeat at Calvary, it was time for a change of plans. Yes, it was. Satan knew that his time was short. And he knew also that the only crowd he'd have with him in hell would be those who didn't belong to Christ. Because once you belong to Jesus, hell is out of the picture, out of the equation altogether. He thought about how he had fooled Eve in the Garden of Eden. He couldn't keep God's Word away from the people, but maybe he could cause enough confusion. If he couldn't keep it away, maybe he could just twist it a bit. Just take the corners off. Take the edge off the Word of God. For example, God told Adam and Eve that they may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were not to touch. Now, later in Genesis chapter 3, after that old serpent, the devil, got Eve all alone, listen to what he said to her. "Yea, hath God said ye may not eat of every tree in the garden?" No! Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 16. What God really said was that ye may eat of every tree of the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, Satan tried desperately to confuse the woman. And in the end, he succeeded. And Adam conceded as well. Well, what we have here is a classic act of confusion over the Word of God. And the enemy has been at it ever since. Okay, now fast forward. Fast forward. Satan, who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Okay? Now, hear this very, very carefully. Please, hear this. It may be the most important thing you will hear in your lifetime. God wrote only one Bible. One. He had it done three times. The same words. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the first parchments of the Bible were burned up. The second time, the parchments were cast into the sea. The third time, God promised to preserve His Word. And since God cannot lie, we now have those scriptures neatly packaged in the authorized 1611 King James Bible. Yes, we do. Not in the NIV, not in the NASV, not in the New Living Bible, not in the New King James Version, but only in the inerrant, infallible, inspired, 1611, authorized King James Bible. All other versions are nothing but sinking sand. The King James does not come with a copyright. Did you know that? It's the only one that doesn't have a copyright. Therefore, it has been torn asunder. You can do what you want with it, if you dare. It was torn up, changed, edited over and over again by would-be critics actually fools, unbelievers, and devil worshippers. Now, since the devil couldn't change the true word of God, he wrote his own. And he did it in over 400 versions. Isn't that amazing? Creating something for everyone's taste. And every lie. The King James Bible is the only Bible that Satan hates. He hates the King James because it's the word that defeated him. He hates it because it speaks more about the blood of Christ than any of the others. And of course, it's the very blood that undid the Prince of Darkness. It was his Achilles heel, if you will. Now, today, now that Satan has introduced a multitude of Bibles, imagine the devil sanctioning Bibles. Now, there are so many different Bibles in so many different churches and homes these days. The confusion has never been greater. Some homes have several, just so they can compare Scripture and choose the one they like the best. In the churches and colleges, even some Baptist fundamentalists today, more than one version is used. And I cringe at that. Add to these the massive influx of study Bibles. And what we have is a major spiritual mess or crisis. On top of all this, add the various commentaries from well-known theologians like Spurgeon, Henry, then top it off with a helping of John Hagee and Jack Vanapee. The result lends itself to utter chaos. This is where the feeble-hearted Christian is quite likely to throw in the proverbial towel. Confusion. Confusion will smack them straight in the face. And they will quit. They will quit. Go cold turkey. So, with all this going on, be advised. Satan sleepeth not. And since he can't have the children of God to stoke his flames, his final assault will be to seduce the unsaved into thinking they are saved. And that is what this message is all about. That's why you need to examine yourself. You need to examine yourself. Got a question. Are you saved? How do you know? Because I believe, you say. Well, the devil believes and he trembles. How do you know you believe? If 100 people went out to casinos and bars and crack houses and asked if these people believed, you know what? Just about all would say, yes, I believe. Yeah. How can you be totally assured you are a true believer? Well, you know, most people would confidently reply, and especially Catholics here, well, I just know, that's all. Or, I know in my heart I'm saved. Yes, sir. But isn't the heart deceitful and desperately wicked? So how can you trust your heart? Another says, I know I'm saved. My pastor told me. Now ain't that a Jim Dandy? What authority does he base this on? Is he God? Then there's this whopper. Well, I know I'm saved because I'm walking with Jesus. Then tell me this. Is he walking in front of you Or is he walking behind you? Huh? What if you stopped walking with Jesus? Would you lose your salvation?
Well, you can't lose your salvation.
Well, let me tell you this. You know you're a believer because you repented one time and still repent today. Now, a lot of people would have a problem with that because they don't like to put repentance in salvation. But it's there nonetheless. Repentance means turning away from that old lifestyle. With the help of the Holy Spirit which dwelleth within all, every believer, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, and turning yourself to God, turning yourself over to Jesus. You know you're a believer because you still believe today. You know you're a believer because you walked with Jesus one time and still walk with Him today. You know the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, gives us the best assurance of knowing we are truly saved. And here it is. I've said it before. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? There you have it. Listen to it over and over again. Remember it. Memorize it. Put it in your heart. And live by it. Examine yourself. Put yourselves to the test. Remember, though, it's a self-test. Remember in school that sometimes at the end of a lesson you'd get a self-test on the last page? Well, it's not there to trick you. You're not graded on that self-test. It's between you and yourself. The question is, will you cheat on yourself? Well, even if you do, you'll still know you're a liar. But the test of eternal security is a test between you and your conscience. But keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. 'Tis God who will mark your paper. God, He will mark your examination. 'Tis God who will grade you and evaluate you, and God doesn't lie. No, sir. Question one. Are you saved? Yes or no? I hope. I think. I'm pretty sure. My mom told me I made a profession of faith when I was 3. I believe in God. I go to church. I read my Bible. I asked you if you were saved. Question two. How do you know for sure you're saved?
Well, I go to Sunday school. I'll play with Christian friends. I help Mom around the house. I sing in the choir. My friends call me a Christian. They call me brother. I like to help others. Well, only God knows for sure.
Question three. How did you get saved?
I walked the aisle. I said the prayer of salvation. I believe what the pastor told me. I believe what my friends told me. I got baptized. I played a part in a Christian play. And I quit chewing gum.
Hallelujah. Question four. And this is for you adults. Specifically for you adults.
I went to church one day and walked the aisle. The priest gave me a wafer and a drink of wine and told me I had the body of Christ. I went to confession and said an act of contrition, 10 Hail Marys, and 3 Our Fathers. And I memorized the Apostles' Creed. Now, if I ain't saved, then the Pope's a liar. Okay.
Question five applies to anyone. Anyone.
Well, I used to be the town drunk, you know. I lived in an old empty boxcar after my wife kicked me out. One day, I was staggering along a dark, rainy country road thinking I wish I was dead.
I began talking to God and asking for His mercy. I just called out to Him from the very bottom of my soul. And I said, Lord, Lord, I know You're real. And I know I ain't much to pay no mind to. One day, Lord, I heard a preacher man say that if I believe that Your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for all my sins, if I said so with my mouth and truly believed in my heart, then You would save me. Well, Lord, I ain't much, as You can see, and I ain't got much. But if You have a mind to take me just as I am, I sure would be obliged. Will You save me, Lord? Will You save me? How is it with you, sir? How is it with you, madam? How is it with you, young person? Are you sure? Many are called, but few are chosen. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Amen. Who do you listen to concerning your salvation? Or do you listen to your heart? The Bible says, for the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you listen to your pastor? To your parents? To your friends? But what if they are not truly saved? What if they don't know Jesus? God warns us that false teachers and prophets are gone out to lie and to deceive. You know, a recent poll showed that 94% of would-be truly converted Christians in churches now, today, are not saved at all. Not saved. That's almost terrifying. It is terrifying. They may walk the walk, they may talk the talk, but challenge them with the Word of God and they'll smite you as a fanatic or a legalistic mogul. 2 Corinthians 13. And I read this before. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. It's not so hard to do. Are all things passed away? Have all things become new? I'm not talking about how much you brush your teeth. New friends? New desires? Read the Bible? Christian fellowship? Praying together? Folks, I fear the error of the Bible Baptist Fundamental Church. I fear it's slowly fallen into oblivion. Not only because of what's happening within its ranks, including abuse, suicide, abandonment, and apostasy. You know, once stalwart, Bible-believing Christian schools are quickly falling to the devil's sickle or being swallowed up by new evangelicalism. My wife and I both held supervisory positions in Christian schools. You know, it's funny how it all came about. Well, my wife had already been a Christian school supervisor for the preschoolers. And then one day as I was cleaning the church, doing my janitorial work that the Lord called me to do, yes, He calls people to that as well, the pastor was in his office and saw me walking by his door, and he said, "Oh, Brother Tom, can you come in for a minute, please?" I walked in, and he said, "Have a seat," and I sat down, and he says, "We got a bit of a problem." I thought maybe he's going to fire me from my job as a janitor, that I messed up. Get it? Messed up? No, that wasn't it. My job was secure. Nobody else wanted it. So he said, "Now, our school supervisor in the upper grades is not coming back." I said, "Oh, well, that's too bad, Pastor. I'll have to pray for a new one." He said, "I've been doing that. I want to ask you something, Tom, brother. Would you be interested in holding down the post until we can find somebody permanent?" I said, "Well, oh, Pastor, no, no, no. I'm not a Christian school supervisor. Lord never called me to be a school supervisor." He said, "Well, brother, if you don't do it, I don't know who else I can get. School just won't open. It's that simple." Well, that just struck me right in the heart, right between the heart shoulders. I had only one option. I said, "Look, Pastor, can I have a few minutes, please? I just want to go out and be with the Lord for a little bit." He said, "Oh, yeah, sure. Take all the time you want." So I went out into the main auditorium, and I got down on my knees, and I talked to God like I never talked to Him before. And some of the things I said, "Lord," I said, "we need our school. Now, we got nobody to be a supervisor here." I said, "I'm not a supervisor of a school. I mean, I got a little education, but I don't have the get up and go of a Christian school supervisor." You know what? The Lord talked to my heart in a very special way. And what He said to me was, "All you got to do, brother, is consent, and I'll take care of the rest. That's all you got to do." Oh, He struck a chord in my heart that just lives with me eternally. I jumped up on my knees and I ran into the pastor's office and I said, "I'll do it!" He said, "Why?" I said, "Oh, I'll do the job. I'll be a Christian school supervisor if you still want me." Oh, I tell you, it's such a joy come over His face, and my heart was just so light. I could have just danced up the walls. The Lord had told me He wanted me to do this. Well, it took a few days before it really to sink in, and I got a little bit afraid, I'm telling you. But I just kept praying. I kept talking to God, and He just kept reinforcing me and telling me, "Don't worry, I'm in control here. What I say goes." I said, "Okay, thank you, Lord." So I told the parents, I said, "I guess I'm it. God called me to be a Christian school supervisor." Some of them just kind of snickered and talked among themselves. And I said, "Oh, there's one more thing I got to tell you too. Unless God removes me from this post, I'll be here for the duration." Well, I thought I was just being just outspoken. Who do I think I am? Well, I ain't nobody without God. But that's what He told me. I will be there for the duration. Well, 6 years later came the duration. A grievous sin entered into the church, and God closed that Christian school. He closed it down just like that. You know, I've never had any trouble since, you know, trusting in the Lord for all things. If you were to read my testimony, you'd see what I'm talking about. How the Lord worked in my life. It took me right from the edge of not only disgrace, but also right on the brink of suicide, and He just pulled me back, and He lifted me up and made me His own. And I was so glad that He did. So let me close with this, folks. It's easy to call yourself a Christian. A lot of people out there walking around right now thinking they're Christians because they go to a church that says they're a Christian. Christian Fellowship Church. Catholic Church. You know what I'm saying? But it's a whole different thing to be one. I urge you, folks, examine yourself today. Because Christ is not going to wait for you to make up your mind. When that rapture occurs, it'll be too late, too late, too late. I'll be praying for you. I'm Tom L. Bonvey. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You for giving me the utterance I needed today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You are glorified and You will be glorified through this message. I pray, Lord, that precious souls out there who think they're saved and are not, Lord, will make sure and go through the examination, Lord. Oh, and that old devil will just cringe and flee from them, thinking he has the victory and he has not. For only what's done for Christ will last. I thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.